This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على عبد الله ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. We're just waiting for Sheikh Jamal to make his way up. I think he's coming up from Derby or London via Derby. So he's taking a little bit more time to come. He should be here inshallah ta'ala in the next 20 minutes or so. So until then inshallah, I thought it would be beneficial if we just have a brief discussion about the importance of seeking knowledge. Because that's not something that I have done particularly in the masjid recently. And it's also not something that I have done on the YouTube channel recently. So it would be nice for us to just, it's a nice 20 minute topic that we can cover, half an hour topic, on the importance of seeking knowledge. I want to start with an ayah, and I'm going to make this ayah into a question. In other words, I'm going to recite the ayah to you, and I'm going to ask you where the link is in this ayah for seeking knowledge. The ayah is the last ayah in Surah Talaq, if I'm not mistaken. The statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, Allahu alladhi khalaqa sab'a samawat. ومن الأرض مثلهن يتنزل الأمر بينهن لتعلموا أن الله على كل شيء قدير وأن الله قد أحاط بكل شيء علما. Allah, who created the seven heavens and created from the earth similar to them, His command descends between them, so that you may know that Allah is able to do all things and that Allah has encompassed everything with His knowledge. Why do I put this ayah? Wallah, if I was to say it is the most or one of the most important and clear ayat on the topic of why it's so important to learn about Islam and to learn about your religion. Allah, who created the seven heavens and the seven earths, the like of them, His command descends between them so that you may know that Allah is able to do all things and that Allah has encompassed everything with His knowledge. Who has any idea? The question is, why is this ayah, or what is the link between this ayah and seeking knowledge? Why is this ayah? Why do I think this ayah is one of the most important ayat that tells us why we need to seek knowledge?
It tells us to investigate the power of Allah and understand His...
Okay, I like that. To understand Allah's power. Okay, I like you. You definitely got halfway there, 100%. The purpose of creation is to know about Allah. Allah Azza wa Jal created everything in the heavens and the earth just so you can know Him and worship Him based on that knowledge. لِتَعْلَمُوا, that's the important part of the ayah. لِتَعْلَمُوا, the lam here is sababiyya. In other words, Allah Azza wa Jal created this whole universe so that you can know Him. How can you know Him if you don't seek knowledge? If you don't seek knowledge and try to learn about your religion and to learn about Allah, and the only way you can learn about Allah is if you learn through the religion of Islam. You can't learn about Allah through imagining and dreaming and so on. You can only learn about Allah through your religion of Islam. And Allah Azza wa Jal tells you that He created the heavens and the earth and whatever is in them so that you can know Allah. All of it so you can know Allah Azza wa Jal. And so you can worship Him based on that knowledge. So subhanAllah, imagine that. When you think that the whole of the heavens and the earth and everything that was in it was created so that you could get knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal and who He is and what He does. So it's very, very important. That's one of our first, you know, ayat that we're going to bring about the importance of seeking knowledge. Okay, I'm going to ask you the same question about another ayah. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, "Shahid Allahu annahu la ilaha illahu wal malaikatu wa ulul ilmi qa'iman bil qist la ilaha illahu al azizul hakim." Surah Ali Imran, and it is ayah number 18. Allah bears witness that there is no God worthy of worship but Him. And so do the angels and the people of knowledge, and that Allah is maintaining His creation in justice. There is no God worthy of worship but Him, and He is Al-Aziz, the Almighty, and Al-Hakim, the All-Wise. What's the link between this ayah and seeking knowledge? Okay, through the seeking knowledge from the ulama, what did you have?
If you seek knowledge, then you know that Allah is one. But if you don't seek the knowledge, you won't know that.
Good. Okay, seeking knowledge that you know that you through seeking knowledge, you know that Allah Azza wa Jalla is one. No doubt that He's the only one worthy to be worshipped.
Allah mentions those who have knowledge.
Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned the witness of three people. Sorry, Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned the witness of three things, not three people. Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned the witness of Himself and the angels, and out of all the human beings, the only people whose witness Allah gave weight to is Ulul Ilm, the people of knowledge. That's the only, Allah Azza wa Jal didn't give any weight. And that's why there's an amazing statement of Ali ibn Abi Talib. This statement from Ali ibn Abi Talib is, to be honest, it is, it's really surprising. In this statement, he said to Kumail ibn Ziyad, who was a tabi'i, his student, he said to Kumail, he said, "An-nasu thalatha." There are three types of people. فَعَالِمٌ رَبَّانِي وَمُتَعَلِّمٌ عَلَى سَبِيلِ نَجَاهِ وَهَمَجٌ رَعَاءٌ أَتْبَاعُ كُلِّ نَائِقٍ. He said there's only three types of people. There's a scholar who nurtures his students. There's someone who's learning and is on the road to safety. And there are mosquitoes and worthless people. Imagine that, Ali ibn Abi Talib, that's what he said. There's three types of people. There's a scholar, there's a student, and there are flies. And there are hamaj, just like riffraff. Like, subhanAllah, look at that. He put people into three categories. Either you are a scholar, either you're studying your religion, or either you're just riffraff. That's how Ali ibn Abi Talib explained to his students. And Allah Azza wa Jal, in the Quran, the weight that He gave, shahid Allah, Allah gives a witness. أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّهُ, that there's no God worthy of worship but Him. وَالْمَلَائِكَ, and so do the angels, وَأُولُ الْعِلْمِ, and the people of knowledge. Out of all of mankind, Allah Azza wa Jal selected and chose the people of knowledge. And that's not the only ayah in which Allah Azza wa Jal selected and chose the people of knowledge. Allah Azza wa Jal said, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاء. The only people who fear Allah among His slaves are the ulama. Here the ulama doesn't mean the scholars as in the mujtahidun. It doesn't mean the people like as in the ulama as in the scholar of Islam. It means the ulama as in ulul ilm, the people of knowledge. And the more knowledge they have, the more they fear Allah. So the more the person has knowledge, the more they fear Allah. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ told us, I am the most knowledgeable of you about Allah and the most fearful among you of Him. And those two go together. The knowledge and the fear of Allah, it goes together. Allah Azza wa Jal told us in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا قِيلَ لَكُمْ تَفَسَّحُوا فِي الْمَجَالِسِ فَافْسَحُوا يَفْسَحِ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَإِذَا قِيلَ انْشُزُوا فَانْشُزُوا يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتُ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ. All you who believe, when it said to you, make space in your gatherings, make space. Allah Azza wa Jal will make space for you. And when it said to you, go forth, go forth. Allah will raise those who believe among you and those who were given knowledge many levels. Allah will raise those people among you who believe and who were given knowledge many levels. So knowledge is a cause for what? For al-rif'ah, to be raised up. And Allah Azza wa Jal specifically commanded the Prophet ﷺ to ask for knowledge. He didn't command him to ask for many things. He generally asked, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Very generally he asked for the good of this world. But specific things, which specific things was the Prophet ﷺ told to ask for? Not that many that you can think of. He was told to ask for Jannah, to keep away from the fire, save from the punishment of the grave. There's not that many things that he was specifically told, ask for this. Allah Azza wa Jalla said in the Quran, وَقُرْ رَبِّي زِدْنِي عِلْمًا, and say, my Lord, increase me in knowledge. This is a prophet who Jibreel comes down to him with revelation from Allah, and he's commanded to make in his dua, رَبِّي زِدْنِي عِلْمًا, my Lord, give me knowledge. And the Prophet ﷺ told us in an amazing hadith, this hadith narrated by Abu Dawood and At-Tirmidhi. It's narrated by others in parts, but as this hadith, as a whole hadith, is narrated by Imam Abu Dawood and At-Tirmidhi. And it's the hadith of Kathir Nuqais, that he said, كنت جالسا مع أبي الدرداء في مسجد دمشق فجاءه رجل فقال. He said, I was sitting in the masjid in Damascus with Abu Darda, you know, Abu Darda, the noble companion of the Prophet ﷺ. And a man came to him, and this man said, Ya Abu Darda, inni ji'tuka min madinati rasuli sallallahu alayhi wa sallam li hadithin balagani annaka tuhadithuhu an rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ma ji'tu li haja. He said, oh Abu Darda, I have come to you all the way from Medina, the Medina of the Prophet ﷺ, for the sake of one hadith. I traveled from Medina to Damascus by foot, by slow camel, all the way from Medina to Damascus for one hadith that I heard you telling that the Prophet ﷺ said it. And I didn't come for any other reason. In some of the narrations, Abu Darda asked him, did you come for business? He said, no. Did you come for this? And he kept asking him, did you come for anything? Did you come for anything else? He said, I just came for a hadith. That's what I came for. He said, فَإِنِّي سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ. I heard the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم say, مَنْ سَلَكَ طَرِيقًا يَطْلُبُ فِيهِ عِلْمًا سَلَكَ اللَّهُ بِهِ طَرِيقًا مِنْ طُرُقِ الْجَنَّةِ. Whoever takes a path, seeking knowledge on that path, Allah will take him on a path from the paths of Jannah. In some of the narrations, سَهَّلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِهِ طَرِيقَهُ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. Allah will make his path to Jannah easy. Can you think of any hadith in which Jannah is described as easy? The default is that Jannah is not usually described as easy, right? Jannah is typically described as hard. Ala inna sil'ata Allahi ghaliya. What Allah is selling you is expensive. Ala inna sil'atallahi al-jannah. The thing that Allah is selling you is Jannah. The product that Allah is selling you is Jannah. Jannah is not usually described as being easy. This one hadith, Jannah is described as being easy. Not even for being an alim, not even for being a scholar. Just for being someone who sets out on a road to knowledge. Someone who just starts on the road and takes a path to knowledge. But it doesn't mean they seek knowledge one day and then leave it for a year. When you're on a road, every step you take takes you further down the road. So they start on the road and every step they're taking takes them a little bit further, a little bit further down the road. And it makes their path to Jannah easy. وَإِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةَ لَتَضَعُ أَجْنِحَتَهَا رِضًا لِطَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ. The angels put down their wings out of pleasure for what the student of knowledge does. That when they see a student of knowledge studying, the angels, out of pleasure for it, they put their wings down. Out of pleasure for what the student of knowledge does. وَإِنَّ الْعَالِمَ لَيَسْتَغْفِرُ لَهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَالْحِيتَانُ فِي جَوْفِ الْمَاءِ. And the scholar, and in some of the narrations, طالب العلم, the student of knowledge, everything on the heavens and the earth asks Allah to forgive them. Even the fish in the depth of the sea. Everything in the heavens and everything on the earth is saying, oh Allah, forgive this scholar, forgive this scholar, forgive this scholar. Even the fish in the depth of the sea are making dua to Allah to forgive that scholar. وَإِنَّ فَضْلَ الْعَالِمِ عَلَى الْعَابِدِ كَفَضْلِ الْقَمَرِ لَيْلَةَ الْبَدْرِ عَلَى سَائِرِ الْكَوَاكِبِ. And the virtue of the scholar over the worshipper. Now notice he didn't say the virtue of the scholar over the regular Muslim, yani, over the one who comes for Jumu'ah and some of the prayers. He said the virtue of the scholar over the abid, the one who's worshipping Allah all day and night, is like the virtue of the moon when it's full over everything else in the sky. When you look up at the sky, the moon is full, do you see anything else? Like all the little pink stars are like little dots. That's the virtue of the scholar over the abid, the one who is praying Qiyam al-Layl and praying all their sunnah prayers and reading the Quran, and the one who is abid, a worshipper of Allah Azza wa Jal. The worshipper of Allah. And yet that scholar is more virtuous. The scholars, they say the reason that scholar is more virtuous is because that scholar, his benefit reaches out to everybody. Whereas the abid, their benefit is in themselves only. The abid benefits themselves, not the worshipper, they benefit themselves. But they don't, their benefit doesn't cross out and go out to anybody else. Except in a limited way, maybe they give sadaqah. But generally speaking, their benefit is restricted to themselves. Whereas the scholar, their benefit, it encompasses many, many people, perhaps thousands of people who benefit from that person. وَإِنَّ الْعُلَمَاءَ وَرَثَةُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ وَإِنَّ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ لَمْ يُوَرِّثُوا دِينَارًا وَلَا دِرْهَمًا وَرَّثُوا الْعِلْمِ فَمَنْ أَخَذَهُ أَخَذَ بِحَظٍ وَاثِرٍ. He said that the scholars are the inheritors of the prophets. What about that for a virtue? The scholars are the ones who inherit the prophets. And the prophets, they didn't leave behind an inheritance of gold and silver coins. They didn't leave any dinar. They didn't leave any dirham. They didn't leave gold and silver coins behind. They left behind knowledge. And that's why one day Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he was in the marketplace and he saw the people were trading and buying and selling their goods. And he called them and he said to them that, don't you see that the inheritance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being distributed in the marketplace, in the masjid. The inheritance is being given out in the masjid. So what do you think that the traders did? What do you think they did? Of course, they're traders, yeah? Like someone's handing out the Prophet's clothing and the Prophet's money, and they, straight away, they went to the masjid. Right, where is it? I want to share. They went in, what did they see? They just saw a couple of people here and there studying, some people studying knowledge, some people reading Quran, some people revising knowledge between themselves. They came back, they said, Abu Hurairah, we never saw anything getting divided out there. We went there and we didn't see anything. So Abu Hurairah, he said, that was the inheritance. He said, what did you see? And they said, oh, we saw these people, some people studying the Quran and some people were learning fiqh. He said, that was the inheritance of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's what he was giving out. The Prophet ﷺ didn't give out gold and silver coins. He didn't leave behind a stack of treasure. He left behind knowledge. So whoever takes it has taken a big portion of good. They've taken the big portion of good. Allah Azza wa Jalla has given them a really good nasib, a really good fortune, not fortune as in luck. But Allah Azza wa Jalla has given them a true, you know, a really big share of His blessings for whoever takes that knowledge from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the origin of that knowledge, and I'm hoping Shaykh's not too far away, inshallah. The origin of that knowledge, where does it go back to? That knowledge goes back to revelation, al-wahi. And it goes back to nusus al-wahiyin, the texts of revelation, the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's what the knowledge goes back to. The knowledge doesn't go back to, you know, all of this he said and she said. It doesn't even go back to what this scholar said or what that scholar said. Not in its origin. That's not where it goes back to. There's benefit in learning what the scholars said, and there's benefit in reading the books of the people of knowledge, but that's not the core of it. That's not the heart of it. Those are like branches, furu', but the core of it goes back to al-wahyin, the two revelations, and that is the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that's why we need to make sure that us, in our knowledge, we need to make sure that we also ground our knowledge like that. We don't want to be people who take our knowledge all from statements of people and from what this person said or what that person said or whatever. We want to go and ground our knowledge and take it back to the book and the sunnah, the Quran, the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'll continue, I'll give you, I'm just looking at how much time we have before the Shaykh is ready, inshallah. But if I continue, I give you a little bit of a background on what Ali ibn Abi Talib said, that whole thing that he said, because it was a long quote and I just took you a little bit of it. Ali ibn Abi Talib, he spoke to Kumayr ibn Ziyad al-Nakhai. He said to him, and I'll just read for you in English, just so that we don't take too long. He said, O Kumayl ibn Ziyad, these hearts, he said, Al-Qulub, inna hadhihi al-Quluba aw'iya. These hearts are like vessels. These hearts, the hearts of people, they're like vessels, like cups or like containers. The best of them are those who hold the most. So memorize what I'm about to say to you. The people are of three types. As we said, a nurturing scholar, a student on the path of safety, and the rabble and riffraff who follow every na'iq. Everyone who shouts out, they follow it. everyone who shouts out, they follow it. That's actually led me to a beautiful stopping point, because the Sheikh arrived. I'll tell you, I'm just going to stop for a minute and I'll tell you exactly why it is that I talked to you about this before Sheikh came. Because I was telling you that knowledge comes back to what? It comes back to two things. It comes back to the Quran and the Sunnah. So if we realize the virtue of knowledge, and we realize that that knowledge is grounded in the Quran and the Sunnah, so we have to give the utmost importance to the Quran and to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we're blessed by the grace of Allah Azza wa Jalla. We have with us today Sheikh Jamal. He's a very good friend of mine, and the Sheikh is gonna tell us about our relationship, or he's got the topic of my relationship with the Quran, and tell us about how we should approach and how our relationship should be with the Quran. So inshallah, that was a little bit of an introduction for you guys about just the importance of getting that knowledge and making you realize why you should have it. And inshallah, now we're going to start where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam started with. We're going to start where the scholars of Islam started with. Let's start by getting some knowledge about the Quran and how we should approach our relationship with the Quran. Tafaddal, Sheikh. Rahman, you can just pause the. You can give to the Sheikh. Is there enough charge in the battery?
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الذي أنزل القرآن على قلب نبينا الأمين محمد بن عبد الله، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ولي الصالحين، وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله سيد الناطقين صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى سائر الأنبياء وآل كل منهم وصحابتهم أجمعين. أما بعد، like the Shaykh he mentioned, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his life began as a prophet with the revelation of the Quran. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he became a prophet at the age of 40, but he only became a prophet when the first five verses of the Quran in Surah Al-Alaq were revealed upon him. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. These verses were revealed upon our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and thus his life as a prophet began thereafter. He existed before that, but he was not a prophet. So just for you to understand and retain and appreciate what I'm saying, I'm going to ask you a question. And my question is not a hard question. It's a question based on what I just said. How did he become a prophet? With the revelation of the Quran. So his life as a prophet began with the Quran. And just like that, the true life of the Muslim begins when? When he discovers the Quran. But everybody knows about the Quran. And you ask any Muslim today, the Quran is special. Tell me why it's special. A lot of the Muslims, not all of them, a lot of the Muslims, they have no answer. They will say, yes, the Quran is special. طيب لماذا? Why? They don't really know. They're stuck after that. So in order to develop a relationship with the Quran, one must take a step back and find out why the Quran is truly special. And the Quran has many miracles. It has many things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it. Khasa'is. Specific things that no other book has been given. And it is because of that reason that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that the virtue of the speech of Allah over all other types of speeches, it is like the virtue of Allah above His creation. And we know that Allah Jalla wa Ala, the Creator, the Almighty, He cannot be compared with this creation in any way, shape, or form. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقَتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And we haven't created mankind and jinnkind except for our worship. إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونِي أي إِلَّا لِيُوَحِّدُونِي. So they single out Allah in worship. So because Allah Jalla wa Ala is so high and we have been created, our essence, the reason why we have been created is to single Him out in worship. This great Allah, Al-Azim, subhanahu wa ta'ala, He cannot be compared with any of us. Just like that, His kalam, His speech cannot be compared with any other type of kalam. وَلِذَلِكَ The Qur'an is the most perfect thing in this world. Rather, the Qur'an is not only the most perfect thing in this world, it is the only thing that is uncreated. Everything else that you see is created. Our scholars, they say, even the mushaf, the binding, the ink, the pages, all of this is man-made, obviously. But the content, what's in between the Qur'an, this is the speech of Allah. Kalamullah. غير مخلوق. It is the speech of Allah and it has come out of Him. Allah Jalla wa Ala, He read it. He recited it. He said it. And just like that, you read it and you recite it. And in Surah Yunus, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, قُلْ لَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَا تَلَوْتُهُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَا أَدْرَاكُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ لَبِثْتُ فِيكُمْ عُمُرًا مِّن قَبْلِهِ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. قُلْ and say, لَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ, if Allah willed, مَا تَلَوْتُهُ عَلَيْكُمْ, I would never have recited the Quran upon you. وَلَا أَدْرَاكُمْ بِهِ, وَفِي قِرَاءَةٍ وَلَا أَدْرَاكُمْ بِهِ, and you would not know about the Quran. As in, if I don't read it upon you, you would not know about it. And this recitation of the Quran alone by itself, what it does for the individual, if this was his only relationship, he didn't understand it, he didn't implement it, which he should understand, he should implement. But if he didn't do that, and he read it with a qalb that's hadir, a present heart, this is enough for you to be cured from all of the difficulties and the pain and the ache that your heart feels, and the diseases of the heart. This is enough for you to be guided. This is enough for you to be forgiven and to receive the pardon of Allah. I'm not making that up. Allah Jalla wa Ala, He said it. Ya ayyuhan nas, O mankind, all of you, the Muslim of you, the non-Muslim of you, the old of you, the young of you, the ones who live in Newcastle, the ones who live in London, everyone. قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْعِظَةٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. A maw'idah. And the maw'idah, the scholars, they say, النَّصِيحَةَ أَلَّتِي تُؤَثِّرُ الْقُلُوبِ. It is a heart-hitting reminder. Has come from your Lord. Did you hear what I said? A heart-hitting reminder has come from your Lord. This is an ayah, Qur'aniyah. It's not from your brother sitting here. Allah Jalla wa Ala said it. And this is the reason why Al-Hasan, he would say from the people of the past, إِنَّ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ رَأَوُ الْقُرْآنَ رَسَائِلَ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ. Indeed, those who came before you, they used to view the Qur'an as messages from Allah Rabbul Alameen. Just like this ayah mentions. طيب, it is a message from Allah. Okay, what after that? وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. It is a cure for that which is in the sudur, the chest. What is in your chest? Your heart, your qalb. And your qalb, for it to be upright, this is the most important thing. Like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, that you have a lump of flesh. You have this heart. If it is upright, everything about you would be upright. And if it is not, and it is corrupted, everything about you is corrupted as well. Ala wa hiya al-qalb, this is the heart. So the Quran will actually cure that heart and make it upright, subhanallah. Not only that, wa hudan, it is a guidance. And you read this in the salah every single day. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'een. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. The only dua in the surah that we read every single day, and it's referred to as one of its names, is As-Sab'ul Mathani, the seven often repeated verses. This surah, the only dua that you make is that you ask Allah for guidance. When you finish that surah, the second surah of the Quran is what? Al-Baqarah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alif Lam Mim. Thalika al-Kitab. La Riba Fih. هدى للمتقين. That is the book. There's no doubt in that book. And in that book, there is guidance. للمتقين. So that ayah mentioned it, this ayah mentioned it, and there are many other ayat that mention it. So the second thing after the shifa and the cure is that you receive guidance from the Qur'an. If you feel distant from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then it is through the Qur'an that you will find Allah once again. Find Allah, what do I mean? In this world you will not see Allah. Like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the closest a slave is to Allah in this world is وَهُوَ سَاجِدٌ, in the prostration, in the sajda. But through the Qur'an, because Allah spoke it and it's so divine and perfect and uncreated, like I mentioned in the beginning, then in the Qur'an you find out who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. In the Qur'an He speaks about Himself. You find out all about Him. That's why our scholars, they say a third of the Qur'an, when you divide it into three, one whole third of the whole Qur'an, it speaks about Allah alone. And creedal matters and theology and the belief of Allah. This is what it speaks about. That is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told his companions that Surah Al-Ikhlas that we have all memorized, the four ayat, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ إِنَّهَا تَعْدِلُ ثُلُثَ الْقُرْآنِ. It is equivalent to a third of the Qur'an. Because in this surah, it only speaks about Allah and His attributes and who He is. It gives you an insight to who your Creator is. And that's why the whole Qur'an, a third of it speaks about this. So in the Qur'an, you receive that guidance. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. The Qur'an gives mercy to the believers. In another ayah, وَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنِ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنْصِتُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. When the Qur'an is recited, listen attentively. This is the amr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to listen. فَاسْتَمِعُوا. Even how the word has come, its construction, in the Arabic language, it's actually an imperative verb. فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنْصِتُوا, and be silent. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ, perhaps you will be pardoned. Pardoned. Rahmah. Mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then in the ayah after that in Surah Yunus, قُلْ, say to them, بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ. قُلْ, say to them, بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ, through the virtue of Allah, وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ, and the mercy of Allah. And the scholars, they say this is speaking about Islam and the Quran. فَبِذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا. Rejoice over that, O Muslims. How many things, and I've just been speaking for about 5 minutes, have I mentioned so far that indicates you to you that you should have a great relationship with the Qur'an. Allah is saying rejoice over this Qur'an. Rejoice, yani, not to be happy, be extremely happy, be content. فَبِذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ. The Qur'an is greater than everything that they are gathering. وَفِي قِرَاءَةٍ هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا تَجْمَعُونَ أَيُّهَا الْمُخَاطَبُونَ. It is greater than everything you are gathering. Everything. In the metaphorical sense, in the literal sense, you are gathering money, you are gathering knowledge, you are gathering property. In the metaphorical sense, you are gathering a family. You don't gather a family, but in that sense, that a person is having a lot of children, and who told you these children are going to remain steadfast? They can be misguided. And even if Allah protects them and they remain guided, then they are surely going to die. But the Qur'an is going to outlive you and them and everybody. مِنْهُ بَدَى وَإِلَيْهِ يَعُودُ. The Qur'an has originated from Allah. It has come from Him and it will return back to Him. In the end of times, the Qur'an will be erased from the masahif. And it will be lifted from the hearts of the huffaz. And then it will return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this Qur'an, whilst you still have it, benefit from it. Optimize and maximize your relationship with the Qur'an. And until now, we've only gave an introduction. We haven't even given justice to the recitation aspect. But there are many other types of relationships you have to uphold. Right? From that is, you also have to make a great effort, a conscious effort to try to understand the Qur'an. What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying to me? The people of the past, they would say that when you recite the Qur'an, when you read it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to you. And when you perform the prayer, then you are speaking to Allah. So because Allah is speaking to you, what is He saying exactly? And look how big the Qur'an is. How many pages? Huh? You guys know. How many pages is the Qur'an? Roughly? 600, right? 600 pages. How many ayat?
6,000.
Yeah? 6,000 and? I'm only saying this because I want to clear up something that a lot of people say. Have you ever heard of people saying the ayat in the Quran is 6,666, 6666? Who's heard that before? It's common, a lot of people say it. That doesn't exist. And in the ayat, you have the different modes of recitation. The ayat, they differ in terms of how they're numerated. The ayat are the same. But sometimes one ayah will be two, they'll cut it up. This is not them, the Sahaba, but it's the Prophet ﷺ, how he transmitted it to them. And other times, he will transmit it as an ayah. But it's in the 6,200 range. So 6666 is a conspiracy theory. It's not true. I just wanted to mention that. That's a bit of a tangent, lakin it's a fa'idah, inshaAllah ta'ala. So this kitab isn't very big. You find volumes, like over there in that bookshelf, you find volumes of works in Islam from scholars. Those books, some of them are bigger than the Quran, isn't it not? The tafaseer of the Quran are bigger. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sent down a kitab, a Quran, that is easy for us to understand and comprehend. And He mentions this in the Quran. Kitabun anzalnahu ilayka mubarakun liyadabbaru ayatihi wa fi qira'atin litadabbaru ayatihi wa liyatadhakkara ulul albab. A book we have sent down upon you, O Muhammad, so that they may ponder over it. In another reading, so you may ponder over it. And those of sound understanding, they may remember. So this Quran, this is the objective of its revelation. You understand and then you implement. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He praised the group in the Quran for pondering over it. And pondering over His ayat, not only the ayat of the Quran, but His universal ayat and signs as well. And He said, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Indeed, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and the alternation of the night and the day, are signs for men of understanding. Who are these men? They are those who remember Allah. Qiyaman, standing. Waqu'udan, sitting. Wa'ala junubihim, and on their sides. Yani fi kulli al-ahwal. All of the time. And remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a whole. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to his sahaba one day, he said, ala adullukum ala khayri a'malikum wa azkaha 'inda malikikum وأرفعها في درجاتكم وخير لكم من إنفاق الذهب والفضة وخير لكم من أن تلقوا عدوكم فتضربوا أعناقهم ويضربوا أعناقكم. قالوا بلى. قال ذكر الله. He said, shall I not teach you the best of your actions, the one that is the most pure in the sight of Allah, the one that has the highest rank in the sight of Allah, the one that is greater than donating gold and silver, the one that is greater than going to the battlefield and striking the necks of the enemy, or them to strike your necks, better than all of these things? The Sahaba, they said, Bala, teach us, O Messenger of Allah. He said, Dhikrullah. He said in another report, Sabaq al-Mufarridun, a group by the name of the Mufarridun. They are those who surpass everybody else. They surpassed all of the people. Then the Sahaba, they asked, and who are these people? Al-Dhakirin Allah kathiran wal-Dhakirat. Those who remember Allah a lot, male and female. So remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't only have this reward that I mentioned, but remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is truly the only thing that gives your heart peace and rest and itma'nina and tranquility and serenity. Allah said this in the Quran, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبُ. Indeed, in the remembrance of Allah, do hearts find rest. You find a man, a woman, anybody, Muslim, non-Muslim, it could be anybody, they're doing amazing in their life. Do they have a family? Yeah, they have a family, they're not lonely. Do they have a job? Yeah, they have a job, they're not poor. Do they have friends? Yeah, in society, they have a lot of friends and they have a lot of companions. Are they living comfortably? Yes, they are. Do they go on holidays? Yes, they do. Everything about them is fine, but they are telling you, they will tell you, that our hearts are not happy. There's no happiness inside. Outwardly, they're okay. Inwards, they're not okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us this in the Quran. He addresses it. that because this individual does not have the dhikr of Allah, these other things, they are not going to aid the heart now. They are going to help you in other regards. So it doesn't matter how many worldly things you have. If you don't have the dhikr of Allah, and the greatest dhikr and remembrance of Allah is the Qur'an, then this person is deficient, at least inwardly. Does that make sense? So much so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He speaks about those who don't have any form of remembrance in their lives, and He describes them to be those who are lifeless, teaching you that your relationship with the Qur'an should be a strong one so you may have life. أَوَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ كَمَنْ مَثَلُهُ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ لَيْسَ بِخَارِجٍ مِّنْهَا. What about the one who is mayyit, lifeless? فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ, we gave him life. So in the sight of Allah, the person's dead. There's no life in the sight of Allah, in the sight of Allah. But he's walking amongst you. Allah says, we gave him this light to walk amongst you, but in reality, he doesn't have anything. Because he doesn't have the Qur'an. So when you have the Qur'an, you have everything. And when you don't have the Qur'an, you don't have anything. When it comes to us now, hearing all of this, we should be from one of three categories of people. The best group of people, the first group, are the huffaz of the Qur'an, the carriers of the Qur'an, those who have buried the entire Qur'an in their hearts. They are carrying it with them. How many people here are huffaz? Memorize the Qur'an, all of it, raise your hand. Not one? It's not riyah, by the way. You can just be honest. It's not showing off. Because there's a reason why I am asking. No one, yeah? Okay, how many people would like to be carriers of the Qur'an then? Okay, everybody. طيب. And because we're not a big jama'ah, there's not a lot of people here, we can just be honest, inshallah. This will help us to take away the reminder today. How many people are making a genuine effort to be from amongst the carriers of the Qur'an? Right now, are you making a genuine effort? If you are, raise your hands. Inshallah, not. Inshallah. A handful. طيب, ya ikhwan, there's not a lot of time. You want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and your heart has been filled with His remembrance. Imagine you stand before Him yawm al-qiyamah, you've been resurrected. Hufatan, uratan, ghurla, barefoot, naked, uncircumcised. But the Quran is in your heart though. And you stand before Allah like that. Because everybody will be the same in that regard, that they will not be wearing anything, they will not have any shoes, they will be uncircumcised. Allah says the same way we created them, we'll take them back to that state. In the beginning, they'll go back to that. But if you have the Qur'an in your heart, imagine if you stand before Him. The Prophet ﷺ, he says in many ahadith, that if you carry the Qur'an and you read it in this world, and you bear the Qur'an and you try your best to memorize it, and you implement it as much as possible, then the Qur'an will come يوم القيامة شفيعا لأصحابه. Authentic hadith. The Qur'an will intercede for you. It will deal with your accountability with His permission, subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another hadith, Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah Ali Imran, these big surahs of the Qur'an will come. And they will deal with your accountability. تُحَاجَّانِ عَنْ صَاحِبِهِمَا. But this is for their sahib. The hadith says for its companion. So we have to make an effort, inshaAllah ta'ala, to memorize it. In the beginning, I spoke about the miracles of the Qur'an. Our miracle as Muslims, walillahi alhamd, is that thousands and thousands, maybe they'll reach the millions even, have memorized the Qur'an across the globe. This has only been given to this religion. Other religions, they don't have that. Other religions, their miracle is if you find one person who has memorized their book. Because aslan, they don't memorize to begin with. So when they do find one person, that becomes a miracle. We found one person who has memorized our book, alhamdulillah. But us, we say, look, it's everywhere. It is a normal thing. So we have to, inshallah ta'ala, be a part of that group who are memorizing the Qur'an. So this is the highest category. Have you all made that intention? It's a lofty intention. Abdullah ibn Abbas, the young cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to say, indeed a man is given by his intention. The greater your intention, the greater your gift from Allah. So come with a mighty intention that you want to be a hafiz of the Qur'an. There's a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that some of the scholars they authenticate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not punish a heart wa'al Quran. A heart that has carried the Quran, Allah will not punish it, inshaAllah ta'ala. Because it has this divine speech inside it. And how would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punish it? And we hope that He doesn't, inshaAllah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned through the tongue of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the same Quran will intercede. So if it's interceding for you, it will not let you down. It will not fail you. And the Quran has interceded for you. But the intercession didn't work. All of these ahadith and virtues have come to encourage you to embark upon this path. So this is the greatest level. The second level is those who are working towards the first level. So they are not hafaz of the Quran yet, but they are trying their hardest to memorize it, which is why I ask all of you to put your hands up. And this is probably everybody in the room. They are trying to be from the first category. So they are memorizing the Quran and they have a relationship with it in that regard. Know, oh my brother, that if you are trying to memorize the Quran, then the shaitan is going to be working and plotting against you more than the normal Muslim. Because the shaitan has taken an oath, أقسمة. He said, لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ I am going to misguide all of them. Except for your slaves who are whom? What's the ayah? إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ Apart from a select few, I am going to misguide everybody else. In another ayah, لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ I'm literally going to sit in the way of the straight path. I'm not going to let them get past. So that's everybody. But in the people who are seeking guidance from the Quran, obviously he's going to be plotting against you even more. Because he knows that through the guidance, you will be far away from him. And he doesn't want that, the shaitan. So he's going to be behind you. So because we're all from that category, we have to remember that the shaitan is plotting against us. He makes the Quran seem unachievable, very hard and difficult. If you are old, you can memorize the Quran. If you are busy and you have a lot of responsibilities and commitments, you can memorize the Quran. If you are a non-Arab, and maybe there's no Arabs even, are there any Arabs here? Arabi? One or two. The majority are non-Arab. I am a non-Arab. I memorize the Quran, walillahi alhamd. So that means everybody else can do it as well. It's not restricted to any of these things. The Sahaba, they embrace Islam at an old age and then they memorize the Quran. So you can do it as well. This is the second category. And then we have the final category. The final category is the rest of the Muslims. So they're not from the Huffaz. They're not from those who are trying to be from the Huffaz, the second level. The third level is what? They are those who have some sort of relationship with the Quran. So they're not memorizing it. They're not learning it and trying to understand it like we mentioned. But at least they read some of it. They don't forsake the Quran. They don't leave it alone. They listen to what they can listen to. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at times he would like to listen to the Quran, at times he would like to read it. He would go to his companions and he would say, اقرأ علي القرآن, read the Quran upon me. And so the companion would say, أقرأ عليك وعليك أنزل. How can I read it upon you? It was revealed to you. You are the messenger of Allah. You should be reading to us. We should be listening. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say, إني أحب أن أسمعه من غيري. I love to hear the Quran from other than myself. That particular companion, in that narration, he read the Quran. He read from the beginning of Surah An-Nisa. And then he continued and continued and continued and continued until he read the ayah, فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا مِن كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا What will be the case when we bring for every single nation a witness and we bring you, Ya Muhammad, a witness for هَؤُلَاء, for these ones. You will be the witness for this nation. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said, حَسْبُكَ الْآنِ He said, stop here to the companion. And the companion said, I look towards him, فَإِذَا عَيْنَاهُ تَدْرِفَانِ This made the Prophet ﷺ cry. And the Prophet ﷺ, he became emotional and touched by what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran. Linking back to what I said earlier about pondering over it. This was not his case only in that one encounter. But the Prophet ﷺ was like that regularly. In another report, the Prophet ﷺ, he would pray at night, Qiyam al-Layl, the Quran, and he would continue to recite it until his feet would swell. And he would become so affected physically. His family would ask, why do you do this to yourself when Allah has forgiven your previous sins and your future sins? And then he would say, أَفَلَا أَكُونْ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا Shall I not be a thankful slave? One night he read the Quran in that manner, and he was reading the end of Surah Al-Ma'idah. And he read قوله تعالى إن تعذبهم فإنهم عبادك وإن تغفر لهم فإنك أنت العزيز الحكيم. Oh Allah, if you forgive them, if you punish them first, if you punish them, then they are but your slaves, they are your servants. وإن تغفر لهم, and if you forgive them, فإنك indeed you are العزيز الحكيم, the most mighty and the most wise. فكررها وكررها وبكى صلى الله عليه وسلم. He repeated that ayah and he cried until the angel Jibreel had to come down from the sky. Allah sent him down. Go to Muhammad and say, ما يبكيك, what makes you cry? He asked the Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام, what makes you cry? And he said, أمتي 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 أمتي, my nation, my nation, my people, my people. Similar to the other report I just mentioned. And they're both authentic reports. So then Jibreel, he went back to Allah and he informed him. So then Allah told him to go back down and tell Muhammad, إِنَّا سَنُرْضِيكَ فِي أُمَّتِكَ وَلَا نَسُوءُكَ. Oh Muhammad, we will make you please with your nation. وَلَا نَسُوءُكَ, and we will not do anything to harm you. So Jibreel came back and he told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam this. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he continued the prayer after that. So we should be affected like that when you read the Qur'an. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, Umar ibn al-Khattab, it was said that when he would recite the Qur'an, he would cry a lot. And when he was described, it was said that he had very damp cheeks. And when people, the Muslims, they speak about Umar today, they make him seem like a very strong character. And he had a great character. But Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was described to have these damp cheeks. Because when it came to the Qur'an, he had from the softest of hearts and characters towards the Qur'an. Just like that, we should be like that as well. So this is the last group. The last group is, they have some portion of the Qur'an. It doesn't matter your age, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter where you live. And teach this to your children, and teach this to your parents, and teach this to everybody. A Muslim cannot live in this world without the Qur'an. There has to be some sort of relationship. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Yawm al-Qiyamah, he will complain about a group that have forsaken the Qur'an. And this is mentioned in the Qur'an itself. وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. Oh my Lord, my people, they have forsaken this Qur'an. You know what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in a hadith? He said that there was no prophet that was sent to this earth, except that he was given a miracle to prove his prophecy. As for myself, then I have been given revelation. فَأَرْجُوا, I hope, أَنْ أَكُونَ أَكْثَرَهُمْ تَابِعًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Through this revelation and through my miracle, i.e. the Qur'an, I hope that I have the most followers on the Day of Judgment. This is what he said. But then in the Qur'an, he also says that the majority of them, they left it. So we want to be, inshallah ta'ala, from the minority, those who cling onto the Qur'an and hold firmly onto it. And if you do this, you will receive najah and falah in this world, success and prosperity. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring tons of barakah into your life, blessings. Blessings that you could never imagine. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it to you. The Qur'an will not only fix your spiritual life and your ukhrawi, religious life, it would also fix your dunya. Some of the scholars, they say, that you see the people who are achieving the most, the contemporary scholars, they say, those who are achieving the most in this world, even in the dunya, in terms of the world, are the people who know the Qur'an and have memorized the Qur'an. Because they have revelation in their hearts. So this was my message to everybody, inshaAllah ta'ala. We began with the virtues, we mentioned some, and we mentioned the relationship of the Qur'an is of different categories. We mentioned recitation, we mentioned understanding, we mentioned a little bit about implementation, because I don't want to stretch the reminder. And then in the end, we also gave a parting advice, which is these three categories. There's no fourth category. Any fourth category means you have zero relationship. That's not allowed, huh? That's not allowed. We can't have that. What I said in the beginning of the reminder was actually powerful. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was living before he was a prophet. But his life as a prophet began when he received the Qur'an. It's like that our lives are going to begin, inshallah, when we hold on to the Qur'an. Barakallahu feekum wa jazakum allahu khairan. And ma'adiratan, I apologize for the delay. And I apologize to the Shaykh first and foremost, and then I apologize to the rest of you. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those who benefit from what they have heard. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you all from the people of the Quran. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make me the speaker who spoke to you from the people of the Quran as well. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the Quran intercede for us yawm al-qiyamah. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept us all as the people of the Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Inna lillahi ahlina min al-nas." Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a group of people from amongst all of an-nas, all of mankind. The Sahaba, they said, "Man hum ya Rasulallah?" "O Messenger of Allah, who are these people?" We turn the pages of the Quran and we look at the pages and we see a credo principle that nobody's attached to Allah. لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا لم يكن له كفوا أحد. Allah جل وعلا has no relationship with anybody. He's above. سبحانه وتعالى عما يقولون علوا كبيرا. He's high above and exalted above what they ascribe to him. So when you are saying, "Oh Messenger of Allah, a group, a family, a people, who are these people?" So then he said, "أهل القرآن." The people of the Quran are the people of Allah. And he didn't even say that only. He said, "وخاصته." Those who are the most special to Allah and the nearest to Allah. If you want to be the nearest and the dearest and the most special to Allah in His sight, yani, then hold on to the Quran, inshaAllah ta'ala. Subhanakallah wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inshallah, okay, sir.
Advice about how to how they should approach memorizing the Quran.
Inshallah.
Especially some of them, they see 600 pages, they say,
how can I
can't do this? Subhanallah.
You give them some advice. Inshallah. Memorizing the Quran, like I mentioned earlier, there's no discrimination towards it. It's open for everybody, alhamdulillah. But there are a few prerequisites that you have to come with. The first one is sincerity, ikhlas. And this is for every single action in the Sharia. Without sincerity, you will not be able to achieve anything. So you are seeking the Quran for the sake of Allah and not for the sake of anybody else. This is the first thing. The second thing would be to have a great passion and a desire to acquire the Quran. From the foundations of faith is that you believe in the Quran and all the books that Allah sent down. From the articles, the six articles of faith, from them is al-iman bil-kutub, that you believe in the books. You have to also love the books. But loving is one thing, and having a passion to acquire it is something else. I may love something, I may love to have a nice gadget, but maybe I don't have a passion to go buy it and actually have my own one. So you need to have a passion to actually have the Quran in your heart. So love and passion, that's together. The third one would be tafriq al-waqt, to dedicate time to the Quran. And like we mentioned in London, then a person has to dedicate his precious time to the Quran. Not the leftover time. Yani, a person, he leaves in the morning, he goes to work, he goes to school, he goes to university, comes back, he rests a little bit, he goes to the gym, comes back, he goes to the masjid, comes back. And then a few minutes before he goes to sleep, he's trying to memorize. Is he going to memorize? No, you all said no. But the person who began his day like that, he woke up after Fajr, he read the Quran, then he continued his day as normal. This person will not only, inshaAllah ta'ala, memorize the Quran, he will see the barakah in that Quran that he memorized in the morning, in the rest of his day, he will see it. So to dedicate your precious time, not your what? Your leftover time, that's wrong. And then the final thing is to have a teacher who can show you the way. A teacher to show you the way, not to just listen to you. Teachers don't just listen. The teachers of the Quran, their responsibility and their role is to guide the people through the wahi and the revelation. Allah is the one who guides, but through the revelation, they help the people. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Oh Muhammad, through the Qur'an, you guide the people to the right path. What was the first one? Sincerity. What was the second one? Passion. What was the third one? Precious time. What was the last one?
Teacher.
Nobody has ever come with this for, listen to what I'm saying, except that Allah gave them the Quran. Allah Jalla wa Ala, He wants to give the Quran, but normally it makes so much sense. One of these four things go wrong. Either the person doesn't have ikhlas, so they're not gifted the Quran. Or a person has ikhlas, but they don't have a great passion for the Quran. And thus they lose motivation a lot. Or they have ikhlas, and they have motivation and passion, but they don't dedicate their part-timer with the Quran. Or they have all three. They have ikhlas, they have passion, they have time, they dedicate time, but they don't read to anyone. If someone has ikhlas, That's between you and Allah. And a person is dedicating time. That's your efforts. And a person has come with love and passion from their heart. They actually want the Quran. And a person also has a shaykh that he reads to. You tell me why they wouldn't be given the Quran. They will. If any of us haven't been given the Quran until now, it's because one of these four things are not present or they're deficient. Either they're there and it's deficient or it's not there at all. So this is how, inshallah ta'ala, you can acquire the Quran. Memorize those four things. Again, one more time. What's the first one? Sincerity. Second one? Passion. Third one? Precious time. Fourth one? Yes. Oh, that's it. I didn't give you a check 100 things or 50 things. Four things, best. And you can merge some of them. It's only these things. Jazakumullah khair. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.
Sheikh, I have one more that I think just on behalf of the Masjid,
inshallah.
One of the things a lot of the students have in the Quran class, they struggle with revision.
Uh-huh.
So they memorize the Quran well when they memorize new memorization. When they go back, they find that they lost a lot of what they memorized before.
No.
So what's your advice to them? How can they improve that or fix that problem?
The scholars of the Quran, they describe this, the person who is memorizing the Quran but has a problem with revision. They describe this to be like the farmer who grows crops, but he doesn't water them. So every day he has new crops that are growing, meaning he has new memorization that he's memorizing. But he doesn't water the ones that he grew yesterday, his crops, meaning this person doesn't review the pages he learned yesterday. So the scholars, they say, what happens in this case with the farmer? Then the crops that he grew yesterday, they are going to die. If they don't die the next day, they're going to die after a few days. Because they don't have water, he's not watering them and paying attention to it. Like that, the example of Allah and His Kitab is higher. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave an advice, a prophetic advice for this. And this is a very important answer. Not an important question. The question is important. The answer is also very important. Because people ask this to not only people like me who don't know much, but they ask this to scholars. They ask the scholars, how can we make the Quran strong and not forget it? In reality, the only advice you need is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's advice. And he spoke about this and he said, تَعَاهَدُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ فَوَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَهُوَ أَشَدُّ تَفَلُّتًا مِنَ الْإِبِلِ فِي عُقْرِهَا. Review this Qur'an regularly. I swear by the one whose hand my soul lies in. I swear by Allah that the Qur'an will escape from your memory faster than camels do from a bonded rope. And the camels are bonded. You unbond them, they're going to disperse in every direction. If you go that way, then the other ones that have gone that way have already gone. You can't get it back. The Qur'an will escape you faster than that. So you have to dedicate time to that. Make sure that when you read upon the shaykh, you read two things. You as a student, tell the shaykh that this is what you want to achieve, inshaAllah ta'ala. Because some shaykhs, when they listen to the students, they only do hifd with them. Meaning, new memorization. You have to tell the shaykh, shaykh, I'm interested, inshaAllah ta'ala, if I can do both. I want to go forward and I also want to review what I've done before. And they read upon them like that. And also remember that when you are resurrected before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are asked the four questions in the hadith. From the four questions is the knowledge that you acquired, how did you implement it? And part of that question will be the Quran. You acquired the Quran, how did you implement what you acquired? So you don't want to forget about it. It's very important. The way you will deal with that, inshallah ta'ala, is to read upon the Shaykh. When you are reading upon the Shaykh, one of two things would happen to your revision. Either it's going to be weak, but you can retrieve it and bring it back. So then you just spend a little bit of time, inshallah ta'ala, you read it, and then you're able to bring it back. Or it's become so weak that it's gone now. And that happens to some people, right? If that happens, then you don't treat it as revision anymore, you treat it as a brand new memorization. Because it's become so weak that you've forgotten it. So you have to re-memorize, inshallah ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Are there any other questions? No. It's true. Yes. Yes. From the things that I mentioned earlier, the four things, those four things, believe it or not, will keep you motivated. Because your sincerity means you are always doing it for Allah's sake. So it shouldn't disappear, that motivation. And your passion that you worked on in the beginning, your passion will always remain there. Yani, a worldly thing that you want to achieve, I want to graduate from university. I want to do a master's, I want to reach a doctorate, I want to work in that specific company, I want to earn that amount of money, I want to have that specific car, I want to live in that specific house. That passion doesn't die. A person has that passion with them all the time. I need to live in that place. I need to earn that. I'm not going to stop. And all the brothers, for example, the younger brothers will relate to this example. I need to, my body needs to be that strong. And until if I do that, I have to see a mountain here. Until that happens, I'm going to keep going to the gym. طيب, until you become a hafidh of the Quran, stay upon the Quran. The trick is, when you lose motivation, this is when you're meant to keep going. Because if you stop when you lose motivation, you're a human being, you can lose motivation. Then you're only going to become more distant from it. Some of the brothers, we tell them on Friday, when they're reading Surah Al-Jumu'ah, Surah Al-Kahf on Friday, then they struggle. After a few pages, they want to stop. And we tell them that when you feel like that, the trick is you're meant to continue. Meaning, you're reading a few pages, you feel like, I want to stop now, I'm really tired. This is the shaitan messing about with you. You can continue. When you continue, the recitation that will come after that will flow and it will become sweet, and your heart will be reciting more than your tongue. But you will only experience that when you keep going. What I will say also is, a person, when they lose motivation, then let them be reminded of the virtues of the Quran. When you remind the person of why they're doing all of this, like, tell them, why did you even start? Do you remember why you started? What made you start in the beginning? They'll say, I heard a lecture like this, I heard a reminder like this, I read a book on this, I saw the virtues, I saw the ahadith. طيب, the ahadith haven't left, they haven't gone. Ah, it's true. You have to remind yourself of that. And yawm al-qiyamah, I want to be that same person that I heard that day that's going to stand before Allah with a heart like that's filled with the Quran. That hasn't changed. If I've forgotten, then I remind myself. Another thing that will help you is seeking that right teacher that continuously reminds you of this as well. If you do these things, inshallah ta'ala, you will remain motivated. Jazakumullah. Any other questions from the live stream?
Inshallah. A lot of the questions on the live stream, many of them be answered. Sheikh, they're asking about balancing between, this is a question from YouTube, they're asking about balancing between Quran and between other kinds of knowledge, like Arabic language, someone is studying maybe books of fiqh, and how do they prioritize or how do they balance?
Inshallah.
That's the question from the live stream.
Okay. A person should study the other Islamic subjects. It's very important. You need to know about fiqh, you need to know about haqidah. And as for Arabic, then the Quran is in Arabic. So these subjects are very, very important. But our scholars, they would go to the lengths and they would say, كُلُّ الْعُلُومِ سِوَى الْقُرْآنِ مَشْغَلَةٌ. Every single science, religious or otherwise, that's other than the Qur'an, it makes a person really busy. It makes you busy from the Qur'an. The worst person is a person who has become so busy with other sciences that it has preoccupied him from the Qur'an, and thus the Qur'an has been postponed. Study the other sciences, but the Qur'an comes first. Fiqh is in the Quran. Aqidah is in the Quran. Seerah is in the Quran. Everything is in there. So study the other subjects as well, separately. But the Quran has to be what you give, like we said before, your precious time to. These other things, give it the time that remains, inshallah. Don't even balance them. Balancing them is also wrong. The Quran has to be the spring of your heart, like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would say in the dua, Allahumma ja'al al-Qur'ana rabi'a qalbi. Oh Allah, make the Quran the spring of my heart. It will only be like that when you dedicate all of the time to it. So the answer to that question is, the Quran comes first. These other subjects, religious or otherwise, you can study it inshaAllah ta'ala, but they have to all be secondary in reality. And Allah knows best.
There are questions
in English. Okay, a couple of parts to the question. SubhanAllah, the first part, we were discussing it today. Like, we're just sitting. Sometimes when you're just having a conversation, JazakumAllah khair. When we're just sitting down with the brother sometimes, and it's not a lecture, we're just having a conversation. Like, including myself, we discover a lot of things. Like today I was asking the brothers, they remember. I said, what age are children sent to school? Nursery. What age is it? Yani three, four, five. Okay, madrasas as a whole, look at this. What age do they normally accept like children? Six. And they go to school. The school allows them to start their education, start that life before they start their religious Islamic life and the madrasas. That's not right. That's not right. That's incorrect. طيب, their mind is, you've already taken a lot of the space in their minds and they're not going to be able to memorize. So as for the first part, which is when should they start, and they should start at the earliest time possible. It differs from child to child. It differs from household to household. But the earlier, the better. Don't wait until the madrasa like accepts them. So for example, a parent would say that my child is 4 or 5 at the moment. They can only start the madrasa when they're 6. So I'm going to wait until then. You help them at home. You get started. And the same way the children, they learn in school and the alphabet, for example, in schools, they would paint A, B, C, all of this, and in big writing, so they memorize it as children. You do that with the alphabet. We were telling a family recently, get a washing line and put it in the living room. And then get pieces of A4 paper and do painting with the kids. And write alif, ba, ta, tha, jim until the end. Teach them the alphabet in 3D. And make them paint it like arts and crafts, like the school do. So start like the nursery stuff early. If you do that, they're going to love the Quran. They're going to love it. And that leads me to the next part of your question, which is the being soft with them and stuff. The answer is for children, we have to show more tahbib and targheeb, more love and more motivation and that side. We can't really be harsh with them. If we do, the worry is they may grow up not really loving the Quran. The older people, we can be a little bit more harsh. The younger people, the children, our responsibility towards them is to make them fall in love with the Quran. Not only that, everything in the Sharia. Like the young girls, for example. An example that I always give is the parents, they tell the young children that wear the hijab, if you don't, it is haram. It is true, it is haram. But because she's so little, she may not understand the implications of that haram. So you tell her that you are a Muslim girl and you are so beloved to Allah. And Allah wants you to cover this hair because you're beautiful in His sight. And He made a place, another dar, Jannah, where you can show your hair, inshaAllah ta'ala. So now you have to cover it. And from that angle, a person is going to fall in love with it as a child. هذه طريقة صحيحة. We were in Hajj one time, Hajj, and a brother, he came to a sheikh and he asked him the same question. But he gave more information and he said, oh sheikh, I continue to hit my children when they're memorizing the Quran until they become unconscious. Unconscious. I continue to do it until they become unconscious. And then he said, look, it is Hajj. He's wearing the ihram. He said to the sheikh, meaning he's in the state of ihram, he said, oh sheikh, what is my reward in this? And he's making them unconscious, he's asking for reward. The sheikh, he said to him, if Allah doesn't have mercy upon you and your children, then these children are going to grow up resenting the Quran. All of their memories as children would be that I used to be unconscious and faint, and this is all wrong. Khalat. And as for you, you will be held accountable before Allah should He not forgive you, because this is not the right way. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was told, وَإِنَّهُ لَذِكْرٌ لَكَ وَلِقَوْمِكَ وَسَوْفَ تُسْأَلُونَ. The Quran is an honor for you, O Muhammad, and all of your followers. So because the Quran is an honor, we need to treat it as something honorable, inshaAllah ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Last question from the YouTube
audience. Inshallah,
Sheikh. That was a very good question. I'm going to put it up on the screen as well. Could you please give advice for full-time mothers who are busy with their husband and children, but they also want to have a close relationship with the Quran?
Okay, for the mothers, they shouldn't despair. The mothers, sometimes they feel because they are raising the children and they are looking after the household and they are extremely busy, they can't memorize the Quran. The truth of the matter is, there are others, like the guys, for example, they are equally as busy. They are at work all day, and they are working for the family. They are studying, some of them, in the evening after they go to work. So the reality is everybody's busy. You just have to make time for the Quran. I mean, there's no other way of doing it. Your 24 hours will remain 24 hours. You don't have 30 in the day just for you. So you have to fit it in. You have to sacrifice something. You have to compromise something. You have to change something. You have to shorten something else. If you don't do any of that, you're not going to be able to memorize it. For example, we can use that same question for everything. Okay, I'm so busy. How am I going to pray the salah, the 5 salah a day? Even if you're busy, you have to pray. There's no way out. Just like that, even if you're busy, you should, because the salah and the Quran are not on the same level, you should be dedicating time as well. Wake up a little bit early after Fajr. Stay up a little bit later at the night time. In the middle of the day when you're in break, or you're at work or you're at home, if you're the mother and you're looking after the children, when the children are at sleep. There is times in the day we need to shuffle and move things about. We'll find a lot, abundant amount of space, inshaAllah ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows best. JazakumAllah khair, Shaykh. Barakallahu feekum. Ahsanallahu ilaykum, Shaykh. Barakallahu feekum.